Welcome to this week's class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on the day of Simchas Torah in the year Tavshin Chav Gimel 63 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse in this week's Torah portion that we read. We finished the last week's Torah portion, which is Parshat Vezois Habracha. So over there it says, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. The Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu has instructed us, my Rasha and inheritance, Kehilas Yaakov, for the Jewish community of Yaakov, Ayihi B'Shurin Melech, is when God was king over the righteous people. B'Sasef Rosh Hayom, when everyone gathered together, the heads of the people, Yachad Shifti Yisrael, all united what with the tribes of the Jewish people. That is the verse, the few verses in the Torah portion this week of Parshas Vayeshev Bracha we're going to be talking about. Ever since we know the points that are brought out in the different Hasidic discourses, that on one hand he calls the Torah Mirasha, it's an inheritance. But on the other hand we know, it says in reference to Torah, you should prepare yourself to study Torah, because it's not an inheritance, it's not going to come into you automatically. So why are we saying the Torah is an inheritance? Inheritance means you inherit it, you don't have to do anything. On the other hand, Torah, we know you have to learn Torah. Also, how can we say that Torah is an inheritance, but we know it's brought down in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, based on the verse that it says that those that were here and those that weren't here, that every single Jewish person from all future generations were standing at Mount Sinai when God gave the Torah. So it's not an inheritance. We were there. We received it. So what does it mean it's an inheritance? Also, we have to understand that in this verse, it calls the Jewish people on three different titles. First, it says, "My Rosh Kehilas Yaakov." So it calls the Jewish people of Jacob, the children of Jacob. Then it says, Yachad Shifte Yisrael, will call the name of Yisrael. And then it says, in the middle, Vayihi B'Shurin Melech, we call Yeshurin, straight, righteous. So the question is, why do we have these three different titles? Yaakov, Jacob, Yisrael, and then also what? The idea of Yeshurin. Now, in reference to Torah, we find three different expressions. On one hand, Torah is called an inheritance. Like it says, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us, May Rosh its inheritance. And Chazal tells, what does May Rosh mean? It's a Yerusha, an inheritance. That's one idea of Torah. On the other hand, we know Torah comes through work. Like it says, Haskin Atzmacha L'Ulma Torah, prepare yourself to learn Torah. And like it says clearly, Lo Yagat, if you don't put the effort in, V'lo Yimatzasin, you were successful, Al Tam and don't believe. So you see, it requires effort. And then there's a third expression when it comes to Torah, which is the idea of what a gift. And like it says clearly, God gave the Torah as a gift. And when we make the blessing when we receive the Torah, we say, Noisin a Torah, God gave us as a present. And the general idea of bringing down the Torah down here is called Matan Torah. So we see there's three components when it comes to Torah. On one hand, it's an inheritance. On one hand, it's work. And the other hand, it's a gift. Now, these three ideas of an inheritance and work and a gift, there's three different ideas. What does that mean? Because when it comes to an inheritance, you don't have to put any effort in. In other words, it comes from the one that's inheriting to the one that received the inheritance, and you don't even have to have any knowledge on it. And the person giving or receiving, you don't have to have any knowledge. Matter of fact, like we know, that if a person says that one of my children should not have any part of my inheritance, or one of my daughters shouldn't have any part of the inheritance with the brothers, it means nothing. Why? Because you're making a condition based on what says in the Torah. The Torah says clearly, when someone passes away, it goes over as an inheritance. You can't go ahead and blot out and knock out the requirement the Torah says that when someone passes away, everything goes as an inheritance. So that's Yerusha. Yerusha means there's no effort. Not the giver, not the receiver. It's something which God made it, that when someone passes away, whatever belongs to you goes to your inheritors. That's one component. It means you don't have to do anything. The other one says, no, you have to prepare yourself to study Torah. What does that mean? That you receive the Torah based on your effort. And based on how much you effort, that's you're going to be a connection to the Torah. That's the second idea. And the third idea is a gift. That actually has to do based on the person giving it. And also the person receiving it. Because why? Because nobody gives a person a gift for no reason, just out of the blue. There's something that you've done that made the person say, oh, I like this person, I want to give them a present. Obviously, what you did compared to the present is much bigger. It's not a payment, it's not a salary. You're getting much more. But nevertheless, there's something that you did. So if that's the case, that we see that Yerusha on one hand, you don't have to do anything. It comes in inheritance, not from the giver, not from the receiver. Work, you have to put the work in, and based on what you get, based on the effort, that's what you get. And a gift is something that, yes, you did a little something, but the reward is so much greater. So the question is, why do we have these three expressions which are seemingly contradictory to one to another? So Chazal tell us, based on the verse that says, Magid devar of Yaakov chukov mishpat l'Yisrael, that to tell the words of Hashem to Yaakov, referring to the Jewish people as the called Yaakov, the statutes and the laws to Israel. So Chazal teaches based on that verse that says, Magid Devarov, the words of Hashem Liyakov, Chukav Mishpatov, his statutes and his laws to the Jewish people, which means, Mashu Mitzavel Abonov Lasay Zuba Atzmaisa. Whatever he instructs the Jewish people, because he himself does it. So notice, what do you see? That just like down here, Torah has the three components. It's an inheritance, it's work, and it's a gift. Obviously, if Hashem is doing it on the spiritual level on high, Torah has also those three components, as we see. Because sometimes it says, whoever goes ahead and sits and learns, kol ha-koyre v'shayne, you sit and you learn and you repeat the Torah. So Hashem is learning with you. So that means you're learning and Hashem is learning with you. On the other hand, it says in the Talmud that the first 3 hours of the day, Hashem is sitting and learning Torah without you doing anything. In other words, seemingly they're contradictory. Why? Because when it says whoever learns Torah, so what? Why is Hashem learning Torah? Because we are learning Torah, and what Hashem is learning based on the amount of effort that we put in our learning, and that's why he says kinegdoi. You sit and learn for an hour, Hashem learns for an hour. You put your effort in, Hashem puts his effort in. But on the other hand, when we say the first 3 hours Hashem is learning Torah, that's Hashem is doing it. That's a flow from above without our effort. And obviously, when Hashem is learning Torah, it's much more powerful than when we put the effort in. And that's why it says the first 3 hours, it's not only 3 hours in time, but obviously we're talking on a qualitative level the first 3 hours. Now, we're going to go a step further, deeper into it. Seemingly, what does it mean when it says the first 3 hours Hashem is sitting and learning Torah? In other words, and at that time, Hashem is learning Torah, no one's learning Torah. But the fact is, anytime someone learns Torah, Hashem is learning Torah. So it's not possible, since people live all around the world, and in every single time zone there's someone awake, and there's someone always learning Torah. So if there's someone always learning Torah, Hashem is learning Torah. Why? Because we're learning Torah down here. So therefore, those 3 hours, the first 3 hours, whenever they are, that Hashem is, so to speak, learning Torah, why is he learning Torah? Not because Hashem is just learning Torah, because someone somewhere in the world is learning Torah. And if someone's learning Torah, so the Torah that Hashem is learning, it's based on the effort that we're putting into it. And this that we're saying, that Hashem is learning Torah, it's not based on anyone's efforts. How do the two go together? So, in other words, when we say the first 3 hours Hashem is learning Torah, so we go into a spiritual journey. We know that the first 3 hours represents the first 3 sfirot. What's the first 3 sfirot? Chabad, Chachman, Bina, and Das, which is higher than the worlds. Why? Because emotions are connected to the worlds. Like it says clearly, Ki amarti oilam chesed yibana. Hashem created the world with emotions. So emotions are connected to the world. And we know that the chesed is the first of the emotions. However, intellect is above the worlds. And like Chazal tell us, that Torah, which is the Torah of Hashem, which is intellect, Kadmo Lailam, came before the world. So my emotions are connected to the world, and intellect is above the world. But however, even in Torah, there's two levels. What do you mean there's two levels? You have the lower level of Torah, the way intellect is connected to the emotions, and that's the part of Torah which is basically gets enclosed in the world, which means in our physical intellect, and even in arguments which are false. And then there's the higher level of Torah, which is called Torah on its own right, which is called intellect, which is above being able to come into the emotions. Now these two components, of the way Torah gets involved in the world and the way Torah is above the world, that's generally connected to the revealed part of the Torah and the concealed part of the Torah. Because the revealed part of the Torah is what Torah got involved in the darkness of the world to transform the world. And like it says clearly, where do we find Hashem and Torah? Unfortunately, into the darkness. And what is that referring to? That's called the Babylonian Talmud. And therefore, because it gets involved in the world, the way the Babylonian Talmud is studied, there's questions and answers. And because we know that a question comes from a place of darkness and concealment. Why do you have a question? Because you don't have clarity. So questions and answers comes from a place of darkness. And even the answer that comes after the question is also darkness and concealment. Because why you have an answer? You have an answer because you had a question, which is darkness. And that's why in the Babylonian Talmud, there's a bunch of questions. And it's not becoming because, God forbid, it's anything less or something. On the contrary, if the greater and the smarter you are, you're going to be able to have greater questions and greater answers. And that's the way you study Talmud. That's the way it's studied. And like Chazal tell us, that after he was in the cave for 13 years, and he added more wisdom. So what happened then was he had much more questions, because that's the way you learn in revealed part of the Torah. However, when it comes to the concealed part of the Torah, so we know it says in Raya Mehemna from the Zohar, and it's also explained in the Geras HaKodesh, that over there there's no questions, there's no arguments in the concealed part of the Torah. And the same thing also applies the difference between the Babylonian Talmud and Jerusalem Talmud, which is like the difference between Kabbalistic term, it's called Eir Chayzer, a light that returns, and Eir Yashar, a straight light. And those Eir Chayzer basically is the light that goes through darkness, and Eir Yashar is the straight light. And that's the difference. Now we're going to bring it back full circle. That's the difference between the first 3 hours Hashem is learning Torah on his own compared to when Hashem is learning based on what we learn. In other words, that when Hashem is learning on his own is basically on the level of Torah on its own, not the way it gets involved in the world. Now, so based on this, we'll understand the three ideas of Torah. This that we say a person has to prepare himself to learn Torah, that is our effort that you have to put in when you learn Torah. In other words, you have to literally put in a lot of effort with external powers of what? Of being God-fearing for Hashem, to be God-fearing. In other words, what does that mean? A person has to become in a place where he's total of acceptance and get rid of his own ego. And like it says clearly that when they would teach, they would put in some kind of a fear in the students. And the mouth would drip with fear. Why? Because in order to really, really learn Torah and to be connected to Torah, you have to prepare yourself. And like it says clearly, before you learn Torah, "Nafshi ka'afra l'kaltia," that my soul should be like the dust of the earth. And when after a person's soul is like the dust of the earth, then psach libi psarasach, you're able to open up your heart to learning Torah. Because after you put in the work, and what type of work? Work with bittul, with acceptance, and hanachat asmutzai, which basically means not being egotistical. Then you can go ahead and say yagati, you put the effort in. And then when you put the effort in, then matzasa, then you find it. And what happens is, your heart gets opened up to learning Torah. Now, when a person puts their effort into learning Torah, then you reach what level? You reach the level of the inheritance of Torah. After you put your effort in, then you reach the level of inheritance. What does the inheritance mean? Like it says in the discussion about Matan Torah, when Torah was given in the Talmud in Shabbat, so it says the reason why that Torah was given down here, because the angel said, "Hey, give us the Torah." I said, "No, I'm giving it to the Jewish people." Why? Because we went down to Egypt, and we have an evil inclination within us. In other words, the idea of Torah is to go ahead and transform the sparks that fell down into what we call klipat noga, shell which is neutral, and also sadly into the forbidden three impure klipot. And when we go ahead and we transform it through learning Torah, because we know there's two different types of transformation. One is transforming of klipat noga, which is basically a shell which is neutral, and the second one, which is the gimel klipat that's made, the three impure klipot. And let's explain elsewhere the difference. So what happens is we go ahead and we inherit the lights of Toyu. When we do the transformation, we inherit the lights of Toyu. and that came down when you had the breaking of the vessels, and all these sparks came into this world, and it, whether they fell into the three impure klipot or in the klipot noga, we go ahead and elevate it and we transform it, and that becomes our inheritance. And like it says, that the fact is, Esav and Yaakov, they're brothers. We're brothers. Esav and Yaakov are brothers. And we know that Esav and Yaakov represents like the world of Toyu. Esav was Toyu, the powerful light, and Yaakov was Tikkun, the part of light that was fixed and was stable. And since we know that in the world of Toyu, there's no children, so therefore, who inherits the lights of Esav, the lights of Toyu? So then the inheritance, if Toyu doesn't have children, so Tikkun inherited. And by Yaakov going ahead and doing and transforming the sparks, so Yaakov inherits the lights of Toyu. And we know when it comes to an inheritance, that when someone inherits, you inherit fully. You literally stand in the place of the person that you're receiving the inheritance from. What does that mean? When Yaakov goes ahead and transforms the sparks, and he inherits the light of Toyu, so he not doesn't only inherit the spark, but he actually inherits Toyu from its source. And as we know, the lights of Toyu are huge lights. And when you go ahead and you transform it, you actually bring into the vessels of Tikkun the lights of Toyu the way they are in its source. And that's the power of inheritance versus just doing your work. Because when you go ahead and you transform the sparks of the klipa of Noiga and also of the impure klipot up to the point that someone, God forbid, sinned. So if someone sins, so you did a sin. But when you do tshuva, what happens is we know the highest level of tshuva is doinois, not like kazachias. That sin that once was, wow, it's a terrible sin, that sin turns magically into a mitzvah. So when you go ahead and transform that sin, and you turn the sin into a mitzvah, you're literally bringing in and elevating the lights of Toyu. And that's the real power of Yerusha inheritance. You're inheriting something which you can't receive when you do your work. When you do your work, fine, whatever you did, you elevate it. But when you're able to elevate the sparks of Toyu, and you're able to inherit that, you're inheriting something that no one can ever reach. And that's what it's explained in many, many places. The super quality of the work, the spiritual of a chol levavcha with your whole heart, which is explained, it doesn't say libcha, one heart, two hearts, which is your two hearts. And when you go ahead and transform the evil inclination, you actually reach a higher level. Because as we know, it says there's many, many powers in the power of the ox. Well, what does that mean? Because you're able to inherit the lights of Toyu. And when a person does their work, which means you work hard in learning Torah, and as in Haskin asks, when you learn part and work, that's the first level. And then you learn in a way that you come to doing action, which means you go ahead and you're transforming the sparks in the physical world, and you inherit the lights of Toyu. Then you fulfill the will of Hashem, and you cause Hashem to be very happy. In Kabbalah, it's called a nachas ruach. You're causing a pleasing fragrance for Hashem. And like it says clearly in the Torah, nachas ruach lefonai shamarti v'nasar etzoini. It's a pleasing fragrance because I said, and what I said it came to be. So because of the nachas ruach that you're creating, you Hashem gives you a gift. And then you receive the gift from higher, which is basically from the level of Toyu. So we see over here there's three levels. There's the first level as you do your work, and based on your work, that's what you get. Then you have the inheritance that you receive once you do transform the sparks. And then afterwards, Hashem decides, oh my gosh, you worked so hard, I'm giving you a bonus, I'm giving you a gift. And that's why it says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Moirasha kehilas Yaakov. What does that mean? That the inheritance of Torah, which comes through transforming the sparks of the physical world, that is something that every single Jewish person has the power to create that. And that's the reason why the soul came down to this world from the highest level to the lowest level, because the goal, reason for the going down is to create the elevation. And this elevation comes through transforming the sparks, that you elevate your body and your animal soul, and you elevate the world. Three things, your physical body, your animal soul, and you elevate the world. And that's why it says Kehilas Yaakov, the community of Yaakov, and use the term Kehila. What is Kehila? Kehila means from gathering. And what you basically are gathering all the sparks of the world. And when you gather the sparks, and you gather your soul, and when you gather your thoughts, and you gather your speech, and you gather your action, what does that mean? You gather together all our thoughts, all our speech, all our action should be to serve Hashem. And then you create a Kilas Yaakov. And you create a gathering. Yaakov gathers all the sparks. And then my Rosh, that's when you inherit the lights of Toyu. And then after you do your part of inheriting the lights of Toyu, you come to a higher level. And that, what's the higher level? It says Yachad Shifte Yisrael. The difference between Yaakov and Yisrael, like we know the author explains in the Torah, based on the verse where it says, Lehivit Oven B'Yaakov, Lehiro Oven B'Yisrael, because Yaakov is the part that does the work, transforming the sparks that we do 6 days a week. And we know that whoever works and right before Shabbat receives the word in Shabbat, and we receive the level of peace and calm, which is higher than the work. We reach the level of Yisrael, and that's the idea of what? Yachad Shifte Yisrael, after we do Meirosh HaKehilas Yaakov. In other words, in the beginning, we're transforming sparks, that we're gathering all the sparks from in the world, and also the powers in our soul. Kehilas Yaakov, we're gathering it. And then we come to a higher level, becomes the Yachad, Raza the Echad, Yachad Shifte Yisrael, and we do our work on these both of these levels of Yaakov, which basically you're gathering spark, and then you reach the level of Yisrael, then Hashem gives us the gift on high. And that's where it says, like, He Bishurin Melech, what is Bishurin, the idea of straight, that's referring to the level of Ein Sof, the infinite part of Hashem, Bleakville of the soul. And we know that Yeshurun comes from the idea also of shir, of a song, and a tabas, a ring. The idea of singing a song. And the ring represents the idea of the infinite part, which basically a ring doesn't end. It's infinite and has no end. Because the fact is, any ring, where does the ring start? It's infinite. And the same thing also when you sing a song, because what's the whole idea of singing a song? We know in the world of Kabbalah, singing is very, very powerful. It's to elevate the sparks of the soul. And like we see, the fact is when a person sings, it elevates him. And we know that the prophets, before they prophesied, they would sing. Because in order to receive prophecy, you have to disconnect from the physical reality. And the fact is that a singing is like a ring where it basically goes infinite, and it creates that infinite experience. And then when you finish a song, what happens? You don't just finish, you sing it again and again and again. And that's the idea of Yeshurun. It keeps on going like a ring, and like a song, it keeps on going round and round, which is referring to the infinite part of the soul. And that's why he says, Yehi Bishurun Melech, which basically Melech is referring to the idea we make God as our king, which happens in Rosh Hashanah. And the idea of making God the king is referring to the infinite part of Hashem and the essence of our soul. Now, everything we learned before, these three ideas of doing our work, and a Yerusha, an inheritance, and the gift, it's explained many places in Chassidus. But based on the Rebbe says, one second, what are we saying? That Torah is called an inheritance. What does that mean? After you do your work in Torah, then you get the inheritance. So what are we saying? That Torah is not an inheritance. Torah is like the inheritance part is a byproduct. And it was after you learn the Torah, you get an inheritance. Why? Because we know that learning Torah will cause you to do mitzvot. Gadol Talmud Shmei V'Lemaisa. And by doing the transformation, we receive the sparks of Toyu. But the fact is that the verse doesn't go out of its literal interpretation. And what does the literal mean? My Rasha is referring to Torah itself. That Torah itself is a level of Yerusha. Here we're saying, though, the first level is do your work learning Torah. And then when you do the mitzvahs, you elevate the sparks, and Hashem gives you a gift. But we know Torah itself is an inheritance. What does that mean? And we know also that Chazal tell us that a non-Jew that learns Torah, he has to receive the death penalty. Why? Either because we know there's something which is called Gilei Arayos, there's a forbidden relationship. And the fact is, the Torah is the bond that bonds us with Hashem. That's our marriage contract. So how can he go ahead and learn Torah? Or because of stealing. Because the fact is, the Torah is an inheritance, our inheritance. And if it's our inheritance, so how can he go ahead and learn Torah? And not only that, whoever holds back someone from learning Torah is stealing from him and from his inheritance that he has. So what do we see? That Torah itself is an inheritance. But based on what we learned before, we said, no, Torah is not an inheritance. It only brings to an inheritance. So, Rebbe says, you can also explain The idea of an inheritance, based on this we'll understand, which is the connection also, which the holiday, we're coming up to the holiday of Shmini Atzeret and Simchas Torah. As we know, on Shmini Atzeret, what happens on Shmini Atzeret? Atzeret, comes from Atzeret, everything gets gathered in together. What gets gathered in together? The whole month of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Teshuva, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, everything gets gathered in on Shmini Atzeret. And like that Targum says, Atzeres Tiyah Lachem, Kenishin Yehi Lachem, means it comes all together. And we know that also on Shmini Atzeret and on Simchas Torah, it's the same idea of Rosh Hashanah. Everything we did in Rosh Hashanah happens on Shmini Atzeret and Simchas Torah. What's the difference? One big difference. On Rosh Hashanah, the way to achieve the connection with Hashem is through bitterness. And Shmini Atzeret and Simchas Torah, it's with joy and celebration. And just like when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it says, Yivcha lanu asnachal seinu, Hashem chose us as his inheritance. Who? As Goyen Yaakov, the Jewish people. In other words, the fact that Hashem, with freedom of choice, chose specifically Yaakov. And who did he choose? He didn't choose the name Yaakov, Yisrael. He chose the tribe Yaakov. Why is that? Because it's coming from Yaakov represents the simple faith that we have in Hashem. And the choosing comes in physical things. And like the Targum says, as Goyen Yaakov, what is the Goyen Yaakov? So the Targum said, what's Goyen? It's the Bet HaMikdash. So Hashem is choosing Yaakov and the physical part, the Beis HaMikdash. What's the idea of the Bet HaMikdash? The temple. That's the idea of Dir V'Tachtonim, making a dwelling place down for Hashem here, in this physical world. And we explain that what gets drawn down on Rosh Hashanah is what? We're making God our king over us. Which is actually the king is higher than the source of Torah mitzvahs. And like Chazal tell us, accept Kabbal Malchusei, accept my kingdom, and then I'll give you Torah mitzvahs. And that's what happens in Rosh Hashanah. We're building Malchus, we're building God as our king. That we're drawing in from the essence of God, the God's free choice, that he's choosing the Jewish people, because the fact is, throughout the year, there's no such thing as a righteous person that will do good and is not going to sin. In other words, what does that mean? There's no righteous person that's not lacking anything in the commandments of Hashem. And what happens at Rosh Hashanah is we draw in from the level of Tamlichuni Aleichem, that God becomes king over us, the essence of God, which is higher than any revelation. And this powerful idea that happens at Rosh Hashanah, we make God a king over us, that comes down on Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah in the level of what? In the inheritance of Torah. And like to explain in Kutei Torah, my Rasha Kehilos Yaakov, based on what it says in the classical works of Meirer, that when someone inherits, you're standing in the place of the person that's giving you inheritance. So what does it mean, my Rasha Kehilos Yaakov? That you're actually drawing down the Torah the way it's connected in the infinite part of Hashem. So the Rebbe is explaining over here, so till now we learned Yerusha, that's after you learn Torah, and then you get you do the mitzvahs, and then that's inheritance. So the Rebbe says, no, Torah itself is an inheritance, because Torah is high, is goes much higher, it's the essence of Hashem. And we inherit the Torah itself, just like we make God a king over us, we draw down the Torah into us. What does that mean? Throughout the year, what comes down to Yaakov is only a ray. And like it says clearly, Vayakam Eidus B'Yaakov V'Torah Son B'Yisrael. And we know Eidus is only a ray. However, on Shmini Atzeres, then what happens on Shmini Atzeres is Yisrael V'Kutshabrichu L'Chodei. It's the Jewish people and Hashem, we're just one. And like what it says, Hashem says, Boi V'Negal Gal Nivata, let's have a private party, me and you. In other words, because on Shmini Atzeres, we don't have the people that love us, we don't have the friends. The only one that's existing in Shmini Atzeres is God and the people who love himself, which is basically you, Levatcha, Ve'ein Lazari Mitcha. There's no one else there. It's just us and Hashem. And that's the real inheritance. That the essence of our soul, which is sourced in the essence of Hashem, we take the essence of the Torah. So on Shmini Atzeres, we're connecting to the essence, our soul, with the essence of Hashem, with the essence of Torah, and then you have the powerful three link of Yisrael, the Jewish people, a rise of the Torah, and Kutcha Bricha, become all one. And this comes down to who? To Yaakov. Just like on Rosh Hashanah. It says Yifcher Lanos Nachalseinus Goyin Yaakov Daka Goyin Yaakov on Rosh Hashanah. Same thing also on Shmini Atzeres, and that's why the mitzvah of the day of Simchas Torah is basically like being happy. Being happy, how? Literally, physically dancing with our external organs. Not by sitting and meditating and discussing and learning. That's the level of Yisrael, Li Roish, we have a head. And because when it comes to the head, there's different levels. There's the wiser people, there's the simple people, there's the wood choppers, the water carriers. But no, Yaakov, the heel. And for the level of Yaakov, everybody's equal. Just like when it says, Atim Netzavim Hayem Kulchem, we're standing all together, literally all as one in Rosh Hashanah. And that's why it says, May Rosha inheritance kehilas Yaakov. Because when we do the work of Yaakov specifically, the heel of our feet, and that we're all equal, and we gather it all together, means everyone gets gathered together, and how do we gather together from the essence of our soul, and all the Jewish people are happy in the fact that we have the Torah, in the essence of the Torah, that creates the real inheritance. Because we take the Torah not based on the way you comprehend it. We take the Torah as an inheritance. It means we bring down the essence of the Torah. And from here we have the second insight into Yerusha. That we become one with the person that's inheriting. And like it says, Yisrael ve'raisa kuchabricho kulachad, the Jewish people and the Torah were all one. And this comes down in Shmini Yetzer specifically. Like the Magad of Mizrach says, what is the idea of Shmini? Shmini comes from Shuman, from fat, good. That basically on Shmini Atzeres, it's the Shamnunius, it's the best part of Tishrei. From all the revelations of the month of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sesmi, Shuv Sukkos, Shmini Atzeres is that's the best part, the fattiest part. And from Shmini Atzeres, doesn't it stay there? We receive enough to bring it throughout the whole year. That we should have a year of simcha, of joy, with learning Torah, without anything stopping us from learning Torah. And like the Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuva, that's what all the wise people, what do they pray for? They pray for Mashiach to come. Why? So they can learn Torah in peace and in calm, with nothing bothering us. Up to the point we're going to have the ultimate goal, Umalla Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem. The whole world will fill with the knowledge of God, kamayim l'yam chasim, just like water covers over everything, and the whole world will have that knowledge of Hashem. So here we have a beautiful class in honor of Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, general idea of Torah, that we have the power in this Yom Tov to connect our soul with Hashem, with the essence of Torah, the Yerusha of Torah, and by connecting to that, we will bring down the greatest blessings for ourselves to be connected to Hashem through Torah on Shmini Atzeres that will last us a whole year, and we'll have a beautiful life of Amala Ars Deish Hashem, Kamayim and Chasim, and let's hope and pray that we have the coming of Mashiach. The next class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a great week, Shavua Tov, Chag Sameach, and we should all have the Simcha that we need to celebrate the Torah and to celebrate throughout the whole year the tremendous gift that God gives us of the Torah. Chag Sameach.